Okay, let's see your Bibles tonight. Word, let's see your bulletins, your lesson plan. Let's see your pens. Pens. Okay, turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James 3. Jesus. Please turn your cell phones off, beepers. Whatever you have that beeps or rings. James chapter 3. Thursday, I went to New Mexico with my son to see the first round of the NC2A tournament in New Mexico. And they had four games on Thursday. Two games yesterday, but we came back on Friday, and we got up very early on Friday morning, got in a van to go to the airport. It was a five-minute drive, and the young lady who drove us, 20 years old, I sat in the front seat, talked to her. What's your name? How old are you? She's 20 years old. She has a child, 2 years old, single mom. What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. Well, have you ever thought about it? No. She says, I want to be 15. I says, why do you want to be 15? So I can think about what I want to be when I grow up. Because I'm too old now. It's too late. I said, what? I'm more than twice your age, and I'm young, very young. That's what she said. She laughed. She looked at me and said, you think you're very young? I said, yeah, you got a problem with that? And I said, look, I'm very obstinate. I'm one or twice your age. I got a lot of life to live. It's not about how many years you live. It's about what's in your heart. And I'm excited about turning 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. I'm going to be cool when I'm 90. So she said, well, you know, I'm so old. I said, you're not old, girl. You got to believe. You got to get some vision for your life. Believe that God has a plan for your life. You have a lot of life to live. You're a baby. You're a little child. And you cannot give up now. You're too young. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to be thinking about what you want to do with your life. Go back to school. Do something. But don't settle for what the world is going to give you, because the world is going to give you nothing. Give your daughter a great life. Give yourself the best opportunity to give your daughter a great life. By that time, we're at the airport. It was literally a very short ride. So I'm getting out the car, and I wasn't like yelling at her, but I was just telling her. I'm yelling now because y'all are here. But I said, remember what I said, go for your dream. She says, you know, you're a very nice man. And I thought about that. How much it took to get this girl to say that. Why she said that. Why did she say that? Because she really needed someone to tell her that. She was like, why would you take the time to invest in me? Who am I? You don't know me. Why would you tell me that? Why would you take so much interest to tell me that God has a plan for my life and I could be something better than what I've accepted for myself? There are so many people in your life, your family, your job, your school, who you can encourage this much by just saying a couple of kind words. Many times we want to be Joe Christian. The Bible says, the Bible says. People don't want to hear that until they see you living it. And one of the ways you can live it is simply be nice. Be encouraging. Be positive. Use your mouth in a way to edify and encourage people. Amen? So we're going to talk about that today. But we're going to read this little passage in James chapter 3 about the tongue. Your words. And then we're going to look at it a little bit. Look at what it says. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word or what he says, he or she is a perfect man or woman, able to control the whole body. Let me read that again. If anyone does not stumble in what they say, they are a perfect man, able to control or bridle the whole body, arms, legs, feet, everything. Verse 3, Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is also set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Look at your lesson plan. Lesson plan title is A Kind Word. A Kind Word. First, fill in, it says, if you can control the tongue, write down control. You can control the whole body. Verse 2. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, or he can control his mouth, he is a perfect man, able to bridle, control the whole body. Number 2. It is a little member. It's a little fella. 8 inches or so. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Little guy. Number 3, it is a fire from hell, H-E double toothpicks. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is also set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. It defiles the whole body and course of life. We just read that in verse 6. Next one in the lesson plan. It is difficult to control. Difficult to control. Verse 8 says, no man can tame the tongue. Lastly, it is hypocritical. It is hypocritical and full of deception. It is hypocritical and full of deception. Verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then you drive out into the parking lot, get out my way, you blankety blank. What's up with that? It shouldn't be. Look at your lesson plan. From the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's read this verse. Matthew 12, 34 to 37. It says, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men speak, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know what the Bible says? Out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you teach a little kid how to pour milk into a glass, you put the glass down, you say, okay, Johnny, take the bottle and pour it over and be careful. Okay, mommy, I'm going to pour it. Bloop, 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 bloop. And if you don't tell the little kid to stop, they'll pour the whole jug all over the counter and the floor and see nothing wrong with it. Look, mommy, look at the milk. It's going everywhere. Isn't that funny? Look, we can swim in it. The glass fills up, fills up, fills up. And then when the glass is full, it overflows. You know what the Bible says? When you say one bad word, that's just the overflow. A or what's in your heart. You say one bad word, that means there's a whole bunch of bad words lined up like traffic at 5 o'clock on Friday, waiting to get out. When you say one critical thing, when you complain one time, that means you got a whole bunch more. That's the overflow of your heart. Now, you might not think so. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who could know it? Our heart is so deceitful and wicked that it blinds us from how wicked it is. So when the Bible tells you that you're only speaking the overflow, you don't want to believe it, but it's true. So here's what I did. I wrote up a little chart. It's going to be very interesting for us to go through this chart, I hope. And what I've written is five words that would be negative words and five words that would be positive things you could say. I wrote down crucify and edify. Crucify, obviously, is to put people down, and edify is to build people up. And when I wrote down these five words, and then on the right, I wrote down a line that we're going to put in some words that could possibly be what's in your heart when you say those things. Gossips. You know people who gossip all the time. You know what I heard. You know what I read in the paper. You know what they did. You know what so-and-so said. Gossip. When people gossip, a whole bunch of times, you know what's in their heart? Jealousy and envy. And it could be a whole bunch of other things, but possibly. Let me tell you something about gossip. You never, ever, ever, ever know the whole story. Even if you were there. Even if you were there. How many of you have been to a Charger game? A football game of any magnitude, and you sat in the stands watching TV? Most of y'all. You've never seen the real thing yet until you are there on the field. I took a pastor to watch the Charger game on the sideline. I said, got sideline passes, we're going to watch the game on the sideline. You have never seen a game until today. What do you mean? Just trust me. What you are going to see today is not what you've been watching all your life. You've been watching a video game version of the real thing. So we stood on the sideline. I'm talking about the white chalk is right there, and we're standing right here, and he's watching, eyes this big. And I said, you will never again say, why'd that guy drop that ball? Trust me. And I know many fans, I go to the games, I went at any sport. And you hear people in the fans talking in the fans, they have no idea what they're talking about. How come he didn't see him as wide open? How could he drop the ball? You have no idea. It is nothing like you know. And you could say you were there, but you don't understand. I sat behind home plate at a Padre game, and I'm not a baseball player or anything, but I've been there, and I watched it on TV just like everybody else. I go, man, how can he miss that ball? It's right down the middle. And then when I sat behind home plate, and the seats in Qualcomm that are right behind home plate are actually closer to home plate than the pitcher. I don't know how many feet the pitcher is away, but these seats are closer. And the ball's coming at you at an angle, so you can kind of see it break. And I will never, ever again say, why did that guy strike out? Whenever I see a guy get a hit, I'm going to go, that guy's good. Because the ball, you know, you think the ball just comes in real fast. Mm-mm. You would think maybe the ball does this. Mm-mm. The ball does this really fast, but he does this. It goes this way, and then it goes. I'm not lying. I'm sitting back there. I said, did you see that? The ball went. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And the catch went. Zoop. And the guy went. Huh. I was amazed. Let me tell you something. When you start hearing gossip, don't listen to it. Next one. Criticizers. You know when people criticize people? You know, some people always got to find something negative in somebody else. We're at the basketball game. We're in row 4,700. We're maybe 20 rows from the court, but it is 16,000 people. You're just far from that. You could see it, but no one can hear you yell at them. You can't. The ref can't hear you. So there's a guy behind me, five rows. He's just screaming the whole game. And in the second game, we saw four games. In the second game, there's a guy on the court who was All-American, and this guy didn't like him, thought he shouldn't have been All-American. And so I'm not going to say the player's name, but let's just say the player's name was Jones. He's yelling at Jones the whole game. Jones, you stink! Jones, you stink! Oh! I mean, just screaming at the top of his lungs. And this guy is way, I mean, Jones can't hear you, fool. Shut up, man. He don't care about you. You're overrated. Yeah. And every time he misses a shot, keep shooting. You stink, Jones. Over and over and over. So the game ends. And, yeah, we watch two games, and they kick everybody out of the arena, and then you have to come back in with new tickets. You have to pay twice for the same day. So we come back in, and that guy's in the same seat. I'm in my same seat. Jones is on the bus going home. His game's gone. Next game starts. Who's he yelling at? Jones. Jones, you stink! He's gone, fool. He's gone. He's got something in him. There's something in him. You know what we're going to write down? Insecurity. Insecurity. You know people who criticize other people? They got an insecurity issue. Why? I'm down here. Oh, poor me. And guess what? I'm pulling you down here with me. So I'm going to find something negative in you. Something is going to be wrong. Your hair ain't going to be right. Your clothes aren't going to be coordinated. Your breath ain't going to be right. You're not going to say hi to everybody that walks by. I'm going to find something wrong with you, and I'm going to tell 20 people and get them to agree with me so I can bring you down here. That's a critical person. That's what's in your heart. Complainers. You know people who always complain? Excuse me. Oh, you put them in their desk over here. Oh. It's so dark over here. I can't see my paper. Okay, we're going to put you over here with the light. Oh, the lights hurt my eyes. Oh, I'm going to put you over here now. Oh, it's too hot. I'll push you over here. Oh, I'm going to get sick. It's so cold. They complain about everything. We know people like that? Guess what? They are unhappy. They're not happy. Can we agree on that? They're not happy. You need to pray for them. Liars. Deceit. Deceit is in their heart. Christians lie. When I did my orientation for my secretary, one of the first things I told her is don't believe anything anyone tells you when they call this office. Check it out. People will lie to you.
Yes, this is so-and-so ministry, and Miles said he's going to come speak to us. We have a contract, and da-da-da-da.
Don't believe him. Check it out. Okay, send me the contract. People lie all the time. Okay? Now, as Christians, we're not really lying. We're just speaking evangelistically. Elasticistically. There were thousands who came to the Lord, just thousands. There was only 200 seats in the whole place. They're lying. Don't lie. It's deception. It's wrong. Boasting. Pride. Now, edify. When people encourage people, encourage means to put courage in. Encourage. Courage is faith. Courage is fear that said its prayers. Encouragement, put encouragement. For educate, put helpfulness. And there's other words. You can put in whatever you want that's positive. Positive comments, optimism. Some people, the cup is always half empty. Other people, the cup is always half full. You need to be the person that says, you know what? It's half full. Why do you need to be that person? Because that's what God is. When God sees you, you can have all this sin, all this junk, all these times you messed up. And you know what God says? I love you for what I can make you. He says, you know what? I want to remember your sin no more. I want to devise, and the Bible says that God devises means that his vanished ones can be restored to him. That's what God wants to do. So he's not looking at you looking for stuff. He doesn't have to look for stuff with sinners. He is looking for a reason and a way to get you back to him. That's what we need to do, because we are his ministers. The Bible says his ministry of reconciliation, his ministry of bringing people back to him, is what he has given to us. So that's what you need to look for. Someone messes up, how do I restore that person? How do I encourage that person? Truthfulness. Write down righteousness. Righteousness. Be truthful. Don't exaggerate. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Compliment. People who compliment other people are secure people. Secure. They don't have to worry about building you up because you know what? They're secure and whatever. And don't turn a page yet. And they're happy. They're happy people. Now you can turn the page. Thank you very much. Ephesians 4:29. This is the Living Bible version. It says, don't use bad language.
Where does the Bible say I can't curse?
Right there. Don't use bad language. But this is more than cursing. This is even being critical, gossiping, all the stuff, complaining, stuff I just said. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give them a blessing. Say only what will edify or build up the hearer. Now look what it says right there. Choose to edify, and right in that space there, right, to build up. To edify means to build somebody up. I want to think of how I can build you up and encourage your faith all the time. This is your mission. Your mission and your calling is never to put people down, never to tear someone down, never to gossip, backbite. That is never God's agenda, ever. People talk about, I want to be the devil's advocate. You never volunteer to be the devil's advocate. Why?
Yes, Satan. Here is my opinion.
Satan, tell me your opinion so I can tell the people.
Tell them they are going to fail. Oh, they're not good enough. They're ugly. They smell. I hate them.
Okay, everybody, y'all are ugly. You smell. God, you're never going to be. No, no, no. God, what is your opinion? Oh, here's my opinion. They have so much potential. I'm going to renew their mind. I got ministry for them. I'm going to bless them. I love them. I have blessings for them they don't even know anything about. They just need to trust me. That is our agenda. That's what we're supposed to say all the time. And when you start gossiping here, complaining here, criticizing here, talking behind that person's back, backbiting, you're the devil. You're speaking for the devil. When Jesus was going to get crucified, listen to the story. Jesus was going to get crucified. He was telling his disciples, I'm going to be betrayed and murdered. Peter said, no, Lord, far be it from you to die. Seems like a reasonable comment. Amen? I mean, it's reasonable. We don't want you to die. This should not happen. You know what Jesus said? Get behind me, Satan. Now, if I'm Peter, I'm like, man, why I got to be Satan? Just call me stupid or something. Why I got to be the devil? I mean, isn't that kind of a stretch, Lord? The devil? He said, no, because you not want me to fulfill my mission is satanic. That's the devil wants me to bypass the cross because the devil knows the cross is the only payment for your sin. Seems like Peter was saying a reasonable thing. He wasn't cursing, which he later did, by the way. He wasn't gossiping. He was simply saying, Lord, we don't want you to die, and we're not going to let them, you know. And he's like, listen, fella, you don't know the mind of God. And how innocent that was for him, but he called him Satan. No, you want to be on track with what God wants. So right here, choose to edify in your lesson plan. It says it is a work of, write down, confirming believers in the faith and adding to their knowledge and grace. Adding. What can I say to encourage you in your faith? What can I say to add to your knowledge of the word? What can I say to add to your knowledge of God's love, forgiveness? That's what you need to be thinking about. Okay, four things we're going to have to decide to do to be good edifiers. One, decide to avoid the poison of others. Avoid the poison of others. Avoid. I want to check something real quick here. Bad company corrupts good character, and a gossip separates the closest of friends. Underneath that, it says, just as your mouth can defile your life, so can someone else's mouth defile your life. I asked a minute ago how many times you've heard negative things about other people, and you got all this negative stuff in your mind. Years ago, a friend of mine who is in ministry kept telling me about another guy in ministry, negative stuff. And I was new in ministry, and I was kind of, why is this person telling me? But this person had been in ministry long before me. I didn't know how to tell him not to tell me this stuff. And I was like, man, this must be a bad guy. And for years, I was hearing about this guy who was a minister from this other minister. Then I met the minister who he was talking about. I was like, that's the guy? He was a nice guy. This guy had issues. Don't listen to that stuff. So here's what you need to do. When people gossip, you need to, one, correct in love. What does that mean? Correct them lovingly, kindly, or walk away. Hey, Miles, you know what I heard? No, I don't want to hear. No, really, you know what I heard? I don't want to hear. No. Okay, I got to go. You walk away. Don't listen to it. It can't do anything to edify you to hear gossip. It can't. Next thing, decide to speak humbly. To speak humbly and boast of nothing but give credit to others for jobs well done. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore humble yourselves under the hand of the mighty God, that he may exalt you up in due time. Let God lift you up, not yourself. So here's a little task. Each day, do the following. One, give God credit for everything. Give God credit. Two, tell somebody about something God has done in your life. Anything you have good in your life is from God. The Bible says all good gifts come down from God. Number three, tell God thank you for that something. Thank you. Thank you. I drove to Long Beach last night, up and back, to see the Horizon basketball team play. They won. They're going to the state finals Friday. It was a great game. You're talking about, it was almost 5,000 people this game, 4,500 people. Horizon's number one in the state in Division Four. The team we played was number two in Division Four. The winner goes to the state finals this Friday night. They had a 7-foot center in the 10th grade. And the big fella could play. I mean, he wasn't all. I mean, he was good. He was legit. And in the 10th grade, and with 31 seconds left, it was tied at 65. And we shot two free throws, missed them both, got the rebound, 31 seconds left, took a timeout, and we had to run the clock. Take the last shot at the buzzer. We took the last shot, got a 3-point play with 6 seconds left, and then they won by three. It was unbelievable. People going crazy. But tell you something about gossip, how gossip works. This is an innocent gossip, but it was still how gossip works. The Horizon is the Panthers. So they go, Panther, Panther, whole crowd. So I'm Panther. It's the bar, all the kids driving, Panther. So we're doing this, right? It's all like 2,000 of us yelling at 2,000 of them. Panther. So the guy next to me says, you know, they're the Panthers too. So I go, really? So I immediately turn to the guy next to me and say, you know, they're the Panthers too. And then 2 minutes later, the guy announces that they're the Rams. They never were the Panthers. They're not the Panthers. They're never going to be the Panthers. So I look at this guy and go, what is up with that? But no sooner than he could tell me, I told somebody else. That's how quick it goes. That story really was supposed to be for another part of the sermon, but I forgot to tell you. Three. Decide to edify or build up people in their faith. You have to make a decision to do that. What's your name? Oh. What's your name? Joya. I have to make a decision that if I see you in the hallway, I have to build you up in the faith. That's why I have to make a decision. If someone hurts my feelings, I got to make a decision. I got to build them up in the faith. If someone comes to me with a criticism, I got to make a decision to build them up in the faith. Not to criticize them back. Not to criticize them back. No matter what they say, that has to be my decision. I have to make a conscious effort to that. Because my job is not criticize back. No matter what they say. No matter how off they are. Not to talk about them when they walk away. I have to make a decision. Okay? So you can make a decision. Underneath that, look what it says. It says, you know what I like about you? I was at a conference. It was NFL players. A lot of them had their wives with them. But it was not a couple's thing, but most of them were. And the lady who was speaking was a lady named Cindy Tobias. She says, for the rest of the day, I want everybody in here to find three or four or five people and say this to them. You know what I like about you? And then finish the sentence. You know what I like about you? You know what I like about you? And so we would find people, and you had to find something you liked about them. And many of the people we knew, but if you didn't know somebody, you would say, listen, I don't know you, so talk to me and tell me about yourself so I can find something I like about you so I can tell you what I like about you. It was so contagious. There's a guy, actually the coach of the Horizon basketball team, is a guy named Zach Jones. Me and Zach real close, known each other for about 10 years. 6'4", big dude. All around cool. Zach, he's 6'4", 230, big guy. Always, 7 days a week, is always coordinated. I mean coordinated. If he has sweatsuit on, casual outfit, suit, his shoes, his socks, his shoelaces, his pants, his tie, his watch, his belt, his jacket, his everything is cord. His pant length is perfect. His shirt and jacket length is perfect. His cuff links, everything is always coordinated. Every time I see him, we go, what's up? You give out each other. And then he steps back, and he always looks to see what I got on. First thing he does, it's like a woman, you know, it's just woman. He just wants to make sure I'm coordinated. And if I'm not coordinated, he'll go, now, why do you have on Adidas sneakers, Reebok sweats? It's not, you're supposed to have all the same brand, the same time. But if I got coordinated stuff, he'll go, you know what I like about you? You coordinated. If you know, does anybody know who he is? If you know him, just look at him. He always says, well, every time I try to talk to him, he goes, hold up. He just looks at me. Okay, just make sure you're coordinated. I love that about him. People in your life, find out what it is you like about them and tell them. Don't put a but at the end of it. You know, you are always so nice. Most of the time, but you know, you did a great job at work yesterday. But I wish you could do it all the time like that. No. You know what I like about you? You are so kind. That's it? Yep. Really? They'll follow you around. Anything else you see? Look what it says in the listen plan. Compare someone's actions to a biblical character or a verse in the Bible. Watch this. You are courageous like David. You are holy like Mary. You are disciplined like Daniel. You're a man like Moses. Big and strong like Goliath. But you know though, if you if you can, my encouragement to you is to find people to say someone's nice, that's cool, but to compliment and encourage their character, which is the foundation of who they are and why they do what they do, and say, you know what, you are so faithful. You're always reading your Bible. You're always neatly dressed. You're always smiling. You're always happy. You're always positive. You want to encourage the positive. You encourage the positive, more positive is going to come. How many of you, well, most of y'all don't have kids, but when you have kids, one of the most powerful things you could do is encourage the positive in your children. Find and look for something that's positive. You know, my daughter, I told you many times about my daughter who's very persistent. She just wants something. She just goes and goes and goes and goes. And yesterday we were driving. She wanted money from me, and she just kept asking for money. I kept telling her no. She kept asking for money. And she was just, you know, she was irritating me. So I, for the third or fourth time, said, no, we're not. You know, I'm not giving you money to go shopping today. And it was silent. And I knew that she wasn't, oh, she was thinking. A minute goes by. And I'm waiting for, she better not bring this up one more time. She says, okay, Daddy, I figured it out. And I said, you know what? I've told you four times no, and you keep asking me. And this is a repeated thing. Goes on all the time. Just stop. She just keeps going. I says, that's why if you don't stop, I already told you no four times. How many times I got to tell you before we go on to something else? Don't ask me again. Then it was quiet. Then we talked about something else. So we talked, and we drove a little further, and I said, you know what? Because I wanted to encourage her. I didn't want to just leave her at that. I says, God is going to use that quality in you, and you're going to be a very successful person. Just don't use it on me. I said, here's all the money I got. It was like $3. Go to the mall. Have a great time, you know. But it was like, God, that quality in her that's like this, oh, that is so valuable. Because most people tell you no, and you go, oh, okay. The devil tells you no, oh, okay. You're trying to do something, and the old people say it can't happen, and you go, okay. No. You go, no. It's going to happen. We're going to figure it out somehow, but I'm not going to give up. That's a great quality, and I need to encourage that. I need to see it, though. Do that with people in your life. Find it out. And why are we doing this? You know why? Remember we said the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart? Well, don't wait for your heart to be overflowing to speak. Speak. Everyone say, you know what I like about you? And you're not talking to me, just let's say how hypothetical. You know what I like about you? You know what I like about you? You are so faithful. And you tell people that. And watch what happens to your heart. Watch what happens to their heart. Watch how you are set free from saying, tell me something good. Watch how you are set free from, let me pull you down so I can feel good. Watch how good it feels to give instead of take compliments. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, you know what I like about this church? They are so on time. They bring their Bibles. They want to read their Bibles. They're excited about their Bibles. They're yelling, Jesus, before service. They're fired up. They're not embarrassed to talk about you. They're not embarrassed to witness. They're not embarrassed to do stuff like fast and pray. And to invite their friends. Lord, I thank you so much for these people in this church. I thank you for their faith. I thank you for their generosity. I thank you for how much they do serve and get involved. And Lord, I pray that this week that they would tell people positive things, that they would acknowledge the junk that may be in their heart that you need to clean out so they can be more positive with what they say. I pray that they wouldn't listen to gossip and criticism. I pray that they would be a blessing verbally to everyone they come in contact with, even people who serve them in restaurants or at school, that they would say thank you and be sincere about it. They would tell people compliments and be sincere about it, seeking nothing in return. Lord, let us use this powerful weapon, the tongue, in a positive way. May that become our lifestyle. And Lord, I pray next week as we prepare to nail our wristbands and issues to the cross, that you would help us to identify those issues in our life, that we can sincerely nail our flesh to the cross, our sinfulness, our carnality, that we may be holy because you are holy. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we're going to sing a song if I can find a band. Okay, let's stand. Tell someone next to you you love them, and then you can go.